Open your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We are going to continue our Be Like series. This morning we're going to take a look at David and Jonathan, and we're going to talk about friendship. We're going to talk about being a good friend and what is required, what it takes to be a good friend. We're going to do something a little bit different in our services for today. The 9:30 sermon and the 11 o'clock sermon are going to be connected in a lot of ways. So in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to build on some of the things that we talk about here in the 9:30 hour. So if I tell you to hang on to something, then keep that in your mind, and we'll come back and build on that in the 11 o'clock hour. We know that Jonathan was born a warrior. His bravery is already known by the time we get to 1 Samuel chapter 18. We know his father, Saul, was head and shoulders above all the other men, not only in the tribe of Benjamin, but in the nation of Israel. But when it came time to put that stature to the test, Saul proved himself to be a coward. Jonathan wasn't like his father at all. He was a brave man. David's faith and bravery in facing Goliath struck a chord with Jonathan. And when the giant actually fell, that changed everything. That cemented that admiration that Jonathan had for David. That sealed the deal. When we go to the chapter afterwards in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and at verse 1, it says, "Now when he," that is David, "when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." That word "knit" there in the Hebrew means just that. It means to tie or to bind together. And that's what happened between these two men. Their lives were immediately and permanently interwoven and bound together into a friendship that is still admired to this day. We have even here within our own congregation a Jonathan and David. And these are not the only brothers that I've met who have been named Jonathan and David. I can think of several that I've met that I know. That bond, that friendship between these two men is admired even today. What's interesting, though, it is a very unlikely friendship. I didn't realize this until studying for this lesson this morning, that there's at least 20 years difference between the two. Jonathan was at least 20 years older than David. They're not two rowdy teenagers that are drawn together because they've got homeroom class together. No, they're different. Not only that, Jonathan is a prince. He's next in line to be king. And David is the youngest son of a small family in a little village called Bethlehem. There would have been no reason for these two individuals to come together in this way other than the fact that they shared a strong faith and a courage and a bravery that bound them together as great friends. I want to use their friendship as a pattern in learning what it takes to be a good friend. What are the requirements of good friendship? As we're looking at these individuals, these positive men and women in the Bible, to be like them, what can we learn from David and Jonathan? Well, we're going to learn how to be a good friend. As we look at their friendship, there are some things that come to the surface, some qualities of friendship that are exemplified very well in their lives. First, friendship requires a commitment. The text says something very interesting here in 1 Samuel 18 and at verse 3. "Then Jonathan and David made a covenant." Very interesting statement here. Here we have these two individuals meeting. They are hitting it off very well. And the text says very quickly that they made a covenant. Now, a covenant was a binding agreement between two parties. It was almost like a legal action. It was an agreement. It could have been a contract. That's the way we would look at it today. It was a contract that was binding and that was taken very seriously. Why did these two men make such a serious agreement so quickly into their friendship? I mean, think about it. Today, it'd be like you meeting somebody and you hitting it off very well. And the first thing the two of you do is go get a lawyer and put together an agreement that talks about your friendship. Who would do something like that? Why is it that they did this? Well, here's the thing about Jonathan and David. They both were in line for the throne. Jonathan, through his birthright, he's the oldest son of the king. He's next in line. David, by God's anointing. So they are both in line for the throne. Now this would, under any other circumstances, this would make them rivals and enemies, but they're friends. And so their friendship is going to survive this. However, because of the political ramifications that are involved, there needed to be such an understanding and an agreement. So they made this covenant. Not only did they make the covenant, but we see it reinforced at least two more times in their friendship. In chapter 20, here we have Jonathan discovering that his father indeed seeks to kill David. And that's going to cause a major problem with their relationship, with their friendship. Notice in 1 Samuel 20, let's start at verse 12. Look at verses 12 down through verse 17. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord." Now I want to pause right there. That phrase in verse 14, the kindness of the Lord, hang on to that. Hang on to that. Come 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about that again. "Not only shall you show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies." Now I want you to hang on also in verse 15, that there's this covenant, and the condition of this covenant is you do not cut off my father's house. When you become king, you do not do harm. You do not do ill to my father's house. Hang on to that. 11 o'clock, we'll talk about that some more as well. But here's this covenant. Here's this agreement, a commitment that they are making. And then in chapter 23, when David is on the run, Jonathan seeks him out and comes to him. And this is the last time David and Jonathan are with each other. The last time they see each other. Chapter 23, 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 16 through 18. "Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in the Lord. And he said to him, 'Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that.' So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord." Here Jonathan is accepting the fact that David has the right to the throne. He's not going to challenge David for the throne. "David, you will be the next king of Israel. I'm not going to oppose you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stand at your side as you rule." And what Jonathan is asking for here, he's not saying, "I want you to share the throne with me, and I'm going to be right at your side, and the two of us are going to sit on the throne together." That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, "I'm not going to be your enemy. I'm going to stand at your side and support you as you reign as king." And they made a covenant. They made an agreement so that David understood that although Saul was his enemy, Jonathan was not. True friendship always involves a commitment to remain friends regardless of the circumstances. So if you're going to be a good friend, you have to have that commitment. You have to have that commitment to the other person. You two have to share that commitment that your friendship is going to survive, that you're committed to that friendship. That's going to require a sacrifice. And that's the second thing that I see in their friendship as it is evolving very quickly here in these chapters in 1 Samuel. Because this was not a friendship of equals. Remember, Jonathan is older than David, and Jonathan is a prince, and David is a shepherd. Because it's not a relationship of equals, Jonathan has to make some sacrifices in order for this friendship to work. And that's exactly what we see happening. Go back to chapter 18. Chapter 18 is where they meet. It's where their souls are knit together. Remember, they've made a covenant between each other. Look in verse 4. Verse 4, as you're reading through this text, verse 4 is some information that you just read and then keep on going. But let's stop and let's look at what's happening here in verse 4. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. What is happening here? What's happening here is probably being done before others. But what's happening here? The robe and the armor, that was a part of Jonathan's royal wardrobe. When the rest of Israel saw him wearing that robe and that armor, they knew there's the son of the king, there's the prince. And when Jonathan takes it and gives it to David, what is he doing? He is, in effect, elevating David and bringing David up to be his equal in the ranks of the army before the other people. His sword, notice the sword is specified here. In chapter 13 and verse 22, the text says that the swords were few and far between in Israel at that time. So not everybody had a sword. David is given a sword. And not just any sword, Jonathan's sword. The bow is mentioned as well. It's significant. Some other times we read of Jonathan, we read him shooting a bow. Maybe that was something that he was very good at. Maybe that was something that he especially enjoyed. He gave his bow to David. What is he doing here? Jonathan is giving or sharing his position with this young man, bringing him up to be his equal, at least in the ranks of the army. So he makes a sacrifice here. Jonathan's willingness to sacrifice is also seen in chapter 20 and verse 4. Whenever David has to get Jonathan to realize something, and David has an idea, and we'll talk more about it in detail in just a moment, but it requires Jonathan's cooperation for it to work. Jonathan's ready to cooperate. So Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you." Now here is the prince of Israel, 20 plus years his senior, telling David, "Whatever you say, I'll do it." That's a sacrifice. He's sacrificing in a way. And then in chapter 23 and verse 16, we read just a moment ago, this is when David is in hiding. He is running for his life. He's hiding from Saul. Jonathan searches him out. This wouldn't have been a safe thing for Jonathan to do, and we'll see that as well in just a moment. He is risking his life to go find David in order to strengthen his hand in God, to give him that strength and that encouragement that he needs as he is fleeing for his life from Saul. I'll pause right here, and I'll remind myself and I'll remind you that if you have someone in your life who is willing to drop whatever it is that they are doing and come to your side and give you spiritual and emotional strength when you need it the most, that's a friend. That's a cherished friend. And you remember that. That's what Jonathan is doing for David here. When David needs him most, Jonathan risked his life to go find David and to help him. So here we have Jonathan willing to sacrifice for this friendship. Now, as you look in the book of 1 Samuel, it looks like Jonathan is the one doing all the sacrificing. And David is the one benefiting from all that. When you get over to 2 Samuel, it's David's turn to sacrifice. And David is on the sacrificing side of that friendship. But it doesn't just wait till 2 Samuel. One sacrifice that David made for Jonathan and for their friendship was when he spared Saul's life. There are two times that God gave David the opportunity to kill Saul, and David refused. David refused. As a matter of fact, his men were telling him, "Hey, look, God's delivered him into your hand. If you would just strike him and kill him, all this would be over. Our lives would no longer be in danger. Do it." And David says, "No, I'm not dare going to do it." And the reason that's given in both occasions in the book of 1 Samuel is, "I'm not going to raise my hand against God's anointed." That's the reason that David gives. "God has anointed him as king. It is not my place to take his life. I'm not dare going to do it." But here's something else. The covenant that David made with Jonathan forbid him from taking Saul's life. Remember, "Do no harm to my family." That would include his father. And so that's a sacrifice that David made, to allow his enemy to live in order to honor the covenant that he made with his friend. He doesn't state that as the reason, but it's definitely there. It's definitely contributing to that. So here are two men who were willing to sacrifice in order to maintain their friendship. You and I need to be willing to sacrifice to maintain our friendships. What does that look like? Well, let me suggest this. If you and your friend are always doing what you want to do, that's not a sacrifice. Or if you're always doing what they want to do, that's not a good friendship. There has to be that sacrifice. There has to be that willingness to give on both parties in order for any relationship to work. And that's true of a friendship as well. We see that with Jonathan and with David. And then finally, we see that friendship requires loyalty. All human relationships are going to be tested. That's true of the husband and wife relationship. It is God who joins the man and the woman together, and Satan isn't going to allow that to go untested. Marriages are going to be tested. Relationships between parents and children get tested. You ever raise teenagers? You think the terrible twos or something? Just wait. No, that relationship is tested. Even when the children get into adulthood, sometimes that relationship continues to be tested. And it's true of friendships as well. That's why a lifelong friendship is something to cherish, because it is something that has withstood the test of time and has weathered the storms and challenges of life. Whenever I attend a funeral and I hear of someone speaking of the one who has passed away as, "I've known them since childhood and we've been friends since childhood," just think of everything that's involved in that one statement. That lifelong friendship and how special that is. Well, that requires some loyalty. And we see some loyalty here shown by Jonathan and David to one another. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, now Jonathan and David's friendship was very unique in that they were knit together. That is unique, but it was also unique in that it faced a very difficult challenge. You see, Jonathan's father, his attitude towards David changed very quickly. Before we get to chapter 19, let's back up to verse 18. Verse 18, Jonathan and David, their souls are knit together. They make a covenant. Jonathan sacrifices, shares his robe and his armor. Well, you look down at verse 7, when David begins to go out on campaigns as a leader in the army of Israel, he has great success, and so the women sing songs and dance as they come back. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Look at verses 8 and 9. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Imagine what that sounded like for a king to be saying that. But he's saying it, he's serious. Now what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. That means he was suspicious of David from that day forward. David was no longer an ally. David was now a threat, and threats to the throne must be eliminated. So we go to chapter 19. Chapter 19, look at verses 1 through 7. Now Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. What? Kill David? Yes, that's what Jonathan is told by his father. I want you all to kill David. Look how Jonathan responds. Verse 2, so Jonathan told David. Where does his loyalty lie? Well, right here immediately we see his loyalty lies with David. He warns David. He told David, say, my father Saul seeks to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you. Verse 4, thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you and because his works have been very good toward you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. What's Jonathan doing here? Jonathan is being loyal to his friend. Number one, he warns him, hey, watch out. And then number two, he doesn't allow his father to talk like this about David. He defends David to his father. He tries to reason with his father, and his father says, yes, you're right. I'm not going to do anything to him. So here's a sign of this loyalty, of this friendship, that he's willing to do this for his friend David, even with his father. But what Jonathan doesn't realize in the text of the Bible has told us is that Saul is descending into madness. And he's already started this, but his son Jonathan is blind to it. David is not. David is not. So when we get to chapter 20, David has a challenge before him. Look at verses 1 through 3. Then David fled from Noath and Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? So Jonathan said to him, by no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing either great or small without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. David says, your father is trying again to kill me. And Jonathan says, no, he's not. He would have told me if he was. He's not. Then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. And this is where Jonathan says, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. Now, David could have told Jonathan, listen, your father is wanting to kill me. Instead, he suggests a scenario where Jonathan can discover it for himself and can know for himself. I'm aware of the time. Let's put it in gazelle speed. And let's look at what happens here. David says, here's what's going to happen. The new moon feast is coming up. And I'm expected to be with your father, and I'm not going to be there. And when he asks why I'm not there, tell him I've gone to be with my family. I have an obligation there. And if he's okay with that, he doesn't mean me any harm. But if he's angry, then he intends to kill me. And you'll know. You'll know from your father's reaction what his plans really are about me. You look down at verse 30. All this happens, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you should not be established nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." Oh boy, David was right. And now Jonathan sees it. But Jonathan is a loyal friend. Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, "Why should he be killed? What has he done?" To which his father answers by throwing a spear at his head and trying to kill Jonathan. And that sealed the deal. Jonathan knew that his father truly intended to kill David. And that's why I said it in chapter 23 when he goes to find David. He's doing so at the risk of his own life. Yes, friends are going to be loyal to each other, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And again, it might look like Jonathan is the only one making the sacrifices here. David was loyal to Jonathan after Jonathan's death. And we'll look at some of that in the 11 o'clock hour. To wrap this up very quickly, we have here a great example of friendship. In Jonathan, David found a friend who was willing to break social and age barriers, willing to make repeated sacrifices, willing to protect David's life and David's reputation, and willing to go out of his way to strengthen David in the Lord. In David, Jonathan found a friend who was able to encourage his spirit with a shared faith and confidence in God, who respected his challenging circumstances with his father, and who was willing to keep his promises. May we all be so blessed by God to find such a friend. But you know, Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." So while we are thanking God for the friends that we have, let us not forget to work on being a good friend ourselves. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the record that we have of Jonathan and David and their amazing friendship. We pray that you would help us to be encouraged by it, help us to learn from it, and help us to make the application to our lives as we seek to follow their example and be the kind of friends to those around about us that you would have us to be. We are most thankful that we have such a friend in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.